This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
When Republican Heidi Gnall, the CU regent, and the Colorado Republicans' best bet to defeat Governor Jared Polis in 2022 announced her campaign in September, she said that Colorado is in a state of decline, adding that she's just heartbroken over what's happened to our state. 808 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail, joined this morning by, Heidi Gnall. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gail. Good morning. I'm sorry my voice is a bit rough this morning.
So is mine. Yes, we're all talking about that. Yeah, we're all just a bit raspy these days.
It's that time of year. It's that lovely time of year. I have three small children, too, who don't help the equation.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you serve currently on the University of Colorado Board of Regents. You're the only remaining Republican that holds a statewide elected office in the state. If you win this race, you'll become the first female governor in state history and just the second elected Republican governor of Colorado since 1975. So when you said that the state is, well, in decline, define that.
Well, Gail, I go to the way of life we live in Colorado, which is about going big and controlling our own lives and our own destinies. This is a place people come for opportunity, and I see that opportunity slipping away. I think a lot of folks around Colorado do. As I travel the state, it's this level of anxiety or unhappiness that it's just people are sad about what's happening, whether it's skyrocketing crime or the soaring cost of living or our kids and the lack of education, the lack of expertise in education that's happening, and the mental health crisis that's happening around Colorado.
So what would be the ways in which you would address those questions? And boy, I'll tell you what, we could talk about this all week, but what about Colorado's violent crime increase? I mean, it's pretty complicated, the factors contributing to that. And I can't help but think the nationwide call that we have seen for defunding the police, and indeed with some of the legislative moves that we have seen that haven't defunded them, but have hamstrung them in their ability to do their jobs. There's a number of fixes that need to be put into place.
Yeah, the thing I hear most from law enforcement on the front lines is that, A, we need truth in sentencing. So if a bad guy gets put in jail for 5 years, they need to stay in jail for 5 years. Right now, the parole board that's appointed by Polis is very weak on that issue. The other thing is, that we've got to get rid of these personal recognizance bonds. This is fairly new, and it's part of what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin. If you are relying on violent criminals to give their word that they're going to show up back in court, that's a mistake. And I'm hearing from leaders in law enforcement in Colorado that that's a huge issue. The other thing that's happening is an explosion of fentanyl and drugs on the scene, which probably is related to the border crisis.
You know, and I just had pulled a piece that horrific tragedy in Waukesha. I believe now the death toll is up to 6, if I'm not mistaken, and you still have a number, including children in the hospital. You had a Milwaukee County DA, John Chisholm, saying in 2007, relative to his bail reforms, is there going to be an individual I divert or put into a program who's going to go out and kill? His answer, you bet. There's no excuse for that.
No, that's terrible. It's just disgusting what's happening. And we've got to have the back of our law enforcement officers and help them with recruiting and training. There are issues in every industry, and we can address those issues without destroying our law enforcement force and our police in our neighborhoods. My dad was a police officer growing up, a reserve police officer, and so it's near and dear to my heart. But we are a law and order country, and we've got to get back to that mindset, especially in Colorado.
Yeah, we have to get back to common sense. 812 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, joined by Republican gubernatorial candidate Heidi Gnall. Wanted to ask you, there was quite the flap over Governor Jared Polis and his tax returns. Thank you, ProPublica. And transparency, and that seems to be one of the cornerstones of your campaign.
Yeah, you know what was unfortunate about that, or really bothersome, is the hypocrisy that he, just a few years ago, he was, you know, standing in front of Congress talking about how Trump, you know, needed to put out his tax returns. And here Jared Polis, we find out, he didn't even pay any federal taxes for a few years, which I get may not be illegal. But when he talks so strongly, or, you know, talks a good talk and doesn't mm-hmm. follow the walk, that's an issue. So the hypocrisy and the lack of transparency, I think, are the biggest issues around the taxes.
Would you be willing to release your tax returns?
Absolutely. If he does, I'll do it too.
Why not go first?
We'll look at that. We'll look at that as we get closer to the race.
There you go. kind of set the standard. All right. So here we are in Weld County. Of course, it could be said the epicenter of oil and gas production throughout the state. And for how long now have we felt the wrath of that urban-rural divide coming out of the legislature? How would you turn that around as governor?
My goodness, I mean, there's just been an intentional effort to destroy the energy industry in Colorado, and Coloradans are going to face that right on when we see our gas bills this winter, our heating costs for our homes. It's going to be devastating, and it's most devastating to the poor, the folks that can't afford higher energy bills. And what's frustrating is we have the cleanest energy in the world right beneath our feet. Colorado creates some of the cleanest energy in the world. And instead of tapping into that and having an all-of-the-above approach to energy where we can go for renewables, but we can also respect that oil and gas has been a big part of building Colorado into what it is, and it produces some of the cleanest energy on our planet. So I think we've got to get back to, creating that energy that's right below our feet, the cleanest in the world, to address the skyrocketing gas and heat costs that are going to affect the poor, mostly in Colorado.
Heidi, I wanted to ask you, over, you know, the past rather raucous presidential campaign, there were a lot of questions raised about election integrity. Now, Colorado has long been the gold standard when it comes to election integrity. And I can't help, because I've talked to a number of my Mornings with Gail family, a number of Republicans, conservatives, who are concerned as to whether their vote actually counts. And one of the way I countered them is to point them to the fact that Colorado's elections, I believe, have been fair, and that the appropriate steps are being taken. And I'm afraid that this narrative has become one in which the script has essentially been flipped, and that it's going to be perpetuated in future elections, so that conservatives, believing that their vote doesn't really count, don't turn out.
Yeah, that's a huge issue. And you know, as a candidate for governor of Colorado, I can't speak for the election integrity of other states, but I can speak for our state. And I wouldn't be running if I didn't think I could win here. I have not personally seen any evidence that the presidential election in our state or the outcome in our state was changed by fraud. The margin was pretty significant, like 400,000 votes that Colorado's vote went for Joe Biden. But I do believe that we should come together as Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated, to restore voter confidence in Colorado. A large number of Colorado voters on both sides of the aisle had their confidence shaken, whether it was in 2016 as a Democrat with Trump's election or 2020 with the election of Joe Biden. So I think we can work across the aisle to do all we can to restore it. But it doesn't help when we have a Secretary of State who is so politically charged and just doesn't seem to want to have that conversation.
So many divisions on such a broad variety of topics, not only across the country, but across the state as governor. What steps would you take to restore that unity, if it's even possible, to the state?
Well, I think it is possible. And I like to say, you know, we are Coloradans. We're not Republicans or Democrats, and we're Americans. And I'm going to start by just saying to the people of Colorado, I trust you. I don't want to control your life. I control my own, but as governor, I don't want to control your life, like what's happening right now. and I'm going to focus on keeping schools and small businesses open and not allow Coloradans to lose their job or miss out on school or a job because of mandates. And I'll prioritize the most vulnerable and lead the charge on all the incredible therapies that are coming out to help us battle this pandemic. And then absolutely give power back to parents and education. That's become a huge issue. And obviously, it's a big, I have a big heart for education, being a regent and having four kids. And we've got to get back to letting parents and teachers collaborate and create a classroom that works for all kids.
So you obviously believe, you know, and I go back to that Virginia gubernatorial race, unlike some, you believe that parents should have a voice in their children's education.
Oh, not just a voice, but we should actually fund the student, not the system. I mean, parents should have the ability to change schools or the way they educate their kids if necessary, whether it's homeschooling, private schools, religious schools, charter schools, public schools. I mean, it's going to take us giving parents options to fix what's broken. I mean, right now, our kids in Colorado, the third grade English language arts proficiency is around 39%, and fourth grade math is at about 28%. That is terrible.
Governor Jared Polis has some pretty deep pockets, and not saying that elections are all about money, but certainly money is part of the equation. So how do you combat that?
Well, in Colorado, I think we have an election, not an auction. So I think... Yeah, point out that he bought his seat for $23 million last time, and we don't want him to do that again. Let's make this about big ideas and solutions and giving people control back over their lives. So it's really got to be building a movement, Gail, not just about money.
Heidi Ganahl, one of Colorado's most well-known entrepreneurs, community leaders facing extraordinary adversity, including the loss of her husband at the age of 27, but then used her entrepreneurial spirit to pick herself back up again and launch one of the largest pet care franchises in the world, Camp Bow Wow. And absolutely appreciate you for doing that and all that you have done. What about cancel culture over on college campuses? I mean, being part of the Board of Regents at CU, certainly you find yourself in the epicenter of that.
Oh, my goodness, Gail, yes. It's pretty intense. So what I think we need to do about that is teach kids how to think, not what to think. And that's really the essence of what we need to do in higher education, get back to that. And keep teaching the basics, blocking and tackling, you know, reading, writing, and math in K-12, and then how to think critically in higher education. And so I've been a warrior for free speech and academic freedom at CU. It's one of my passions. And it's absolutely critical that we protect that right now. It's going away right before our eyes.
Heidi Ganahl, CU Regent and Republican gubernatorial candidate. Where can we learn more about your campaign?
Thanks, Gail. Just go to HeidiForGov.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, any of those. We're having a lot of fun tracking our adventures on the trail. I have a young, cool team working on social media, so check it out. And then also check out the website. You can volunteer there. We need lots of volunteers around the state. And also donations, of course. $22 a month makes a big difference, so would love your support, your listener support.
Heidi Ganahl, thank you so much for your time, your passion, and your energy, especially for your gubernatorial run in Colorado.
Thanks, Gail. Have a great day.
You too. Take good care. 821 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an incredible production of The Sound of Music through January 30th. For tickets and show information, just hop online, visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, us and all of those delays and cone zones, particularly on I-25, well, it's all going to come back to you sooner than most of us expected in terms of a smoother commute. 8:37 now. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Jared Files, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. I think I pretty well nailed it there.
I gotta say, Gail, you are the queen of the transition. That was just absolutely, I just give the award right now. Whatever that is, it should just go right there. That was gorgeous.
At least a gold star, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about that work on I-25.
Well, you know, you just mentioned we had that incident there on southbound I-25 around Highway 60 today. Yeah, and that was 100% our fault. That was our contractor was doing our typical work. Like I've told you, we've been doing a lot of work that goes from 9 p.m. till 5 a.m. And the one thing you can say is the reason we don't talk about this very much is because it doesn't happen very much, where they missed their timeline. So they actually were about an hour and a half getting off the road late because they were setting barrier and really couldn't stop in the middle of what they were doing. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been safe. So,
right.
We did have a delay for folks, and I'm very sorry about that this morning. But, you know, the one thing about this is that it – all this time we've been doing this, how rarely we talk about how missing those timelines, because our contractors are really know that that's part of our promise to the general public, and they work really hard to make that. So when they miss it, it definitely you feel it. But I do think it's good to point out that, you know, in the entire time of this work, we have not missed very many of those timelines. And the amount of work that they're doing, especially in dark and cold times, is pretty impressive. And so the fact that they missed one, definitely it's not a good thing, but I do think it points out that this is definitely the exception and not the rule. And I think that's important to note.
Yeah, because in all the years that we have been talking, Jared, on the air, I don't really remember having this specific conversation very frequently, if at all. And, well, concrete barriers are kind of immutable objects. I mean,
they are. And, you know, and part of the, you know, with this project is everybody's really trying to make sure we hit every deadline or ahead of every deadline. And I think sometimes they get a little aggressive in trying to get more done than they, you know, take a bigger chunk than they can for that time. And so I think that was a lesson learned from today. And the nice part is, you know, we have these projects and we have to have subcontractors. We, by law, we can't do personally through CDOT any project that's over $150,000. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I-25 is slightly above that. And so we have to have,
no, say it isn't so.
I know that's shocking. But so we have to have subcontractors do the work, but we do have CDOT crews always overseeing everything that's happening. And so we were on it the minute we knew about that delay today. We were getting word out on all of the travel apps on our website and on CoTrip.org. So we do maintain that oversight. And then with any of our projects, we have kind of the combination, and it depends on what the project is and how it's working, but the carrot and the stick kind of concept. We either have fines or benefits if they finish early. So that's kind of how we have oversight over what they're doing. And the other part is the next time they come up for bid, if they've had too many of those things, we can kind of keep track of that and know that in the bidding process. So that's kind of how we keep oversight and make sure that these things don't happen or happen as irregularly as they do already.
Well, you got to love it. You've got on CDOT's part accountability and transparency, and on the contractor's part in the future, in case this becomes, as you said, the norm rather than the exception, consequences. And I think we all know all those things are quite positive in terms of our reaction to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do have to point out, you know, our one thing, we had 56 open last week. Opened 115 days as opposed to the 140 days closure that was planned. And it's pretty amazing. I drove on it yesterday. You will now see we're kind of in a weird traffic configuration for those going southbound. You know, forever we had that curve in the road that went toward Berthoud. We actually, for southbound traffic now, you have a little bit of a curve actually going in the opposite direction because we've moved all the traffic, both northbound and southbound, onto what will become the northbound lane. So on that east side, and so southbound traffic actually has a little bit of a left-hand curve now as you're going up just for a little bit while we build the southbound bridges and lanes. So. It's kind of a unique part, but that's kind of what our alignment's looking like these days.
Yeah, and we know alignment shifts. Well, they can shift our perspective and not always in the best of ways, so it's good to be aware of that. Yeah. Okay, what about other work that's going on I-25?
So we've got a little bit of work going on 34. Tonight we'll have... the eastbound US 34 over I-25 will have will be down to one lane from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. And then there's a little bit more work going on down there around 60, which is where they were doing the barrier last night. That continues tonight and Wednesday night, actually, or Tuesday night into Wednesday. So, yeah. So, and then really a lot of it right now is getting stuff buttoned up so that we can get as much as we can done while the weather's cooperating as it is right now. So,
yeah, it's an extended summer to be sure.
At least an extended fall, there's no doubt. Yeah, it's a strange season right now.
Yeah, we actually broke records, at least in Loveland and Fort Collins, and I can't help but think in Greeley as well, as we had temps into the 70s yesterday.
Yeah, I was thinking about breaking out the sunscreen. It was a little crazy.
There you go. Hey, I had come across this piece in the Denver Post that I wanted to ask you about, the CDOT safety patrol. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, yeah, that's you'll hear it is called safety patrol, courtesy patrol, that sort of thing. And so what we do is we have these, they look like tow trucks, basically, that go up and down I-25, and we have those during peak time. So during peak morning rush, evening rush, they will drive up and down the corridor. Now, their job is to, if we do have somebody run out of gas, if we do have somebody get a flat tire and they're on the side of the road, it can actually tow them to a safe location where they can get fixed. They do have a little bit of gas with them to be able to help you get to the next gas station if you need it. But this is we do this during our peak times. And the cool part is they are actually dispatched out of our Golden Operations Center in Golden. Mm-hmm. And they can be dispatched to wherever there's things happening. So for instance, on Sundays when we have big traffic heading into the Broncos game, they can dispatch more of them up and down around the I-25 leading up to the stadium. So we did that. I don't remember the big eclipse we had a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. We brought up more. We had more safety and courtesy patrols up here during that time. So we have one that's always stationed up here in northern Colorado. But we do have support that we can get from our southern neighbors who be, you know, depending on what's happening up here. So it's a really nice thing. We've now, in the past, we've had that It used to be sponsored by State Farm. We are now sponsored by GEICO, so they actually provide part of the funding for that. And so that helps us they get their message out, but also it helps us get more patrols out on the road to help people when they need it.
Break out the gecko. So do you find, you mentioned the eclipse and that you had more safety patrol members out during the eclipse. Do we get a little wonky during eclipse when it comes to driving?
Well, you remember that everybody was heading up to Wyoming to go see the full eclipse. And so, yeah, we knew that that was going to be a major route for folks. And you know, we talked about that for a while leading up to it. But, you know, we had pretty much everybody set up for that one. And, you know, that was
so it was more about volume.
Absolutely. More about volume. And so, you know, and we'll watch those things a little. Sometimes it happens with CSU move-in. We'll move those patrols where they need to go, just to make sure that people are safe. And you know, that's the key part to all of it. I mean, it is very nice when they pull up and are able to help you. But their main job out there is not that. It's mostly to get you out of the way so nobody gets hurt when those things happen. I know I've talked to a few people who've had flat tires over the years, and you know, they pull off when they can, and the courtesy patrol can help make sure that you're protected until help can arrive. They can also, like I said, they can tow short distances to get you out of the way if need be. And so it's one of those things. A lot of times when people see a truck like that pull up, they automatically think that this is somebody who's going to be charging them, and this is a free service. And that's why we end up helping to defray part of that cost through the sponsorship.
So are they dispatched to problem spots, or do you have motorists actually calling or texting or sending smoke signals to CDOT?
So that's they are on the move the entire time, so they will oftentimes find the accidents or find the issues before they even get dispatched to them. But we do have the ability through our Golden TOC, Traffic Operations Center, they're watching all those cameras. Mm-hmm. The minute they see a car, you know, pulled off because there's issues, they can immediately radio to that courtesy patrol and get them out there as soon as possible. You know, if nothing else, to turn on their light bars and make sure people are aware that there's an issue over there.
Right, yeah. No, I figured back to the eclipse, people were breaking out their eclipse viewers on their drive up to Wyoming. Well, we seem to do everything else behind the wheel, right?
At this point, our multitasking is
off the charts.
Constantly headed in new directions, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Jared Files, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. A pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
You bet, Gail. Have a great day.
You too. 850 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, this cracked me up because, well, it's kind of like when everything old is new again because, you know, we as humans in our, you know, nascent attempts to communicate started out scrawling on cave walls with hieroglyphics. Well, apparently, we're kind of returning to that with all of the emojis. But it begs the question, should you use emojis in your work communications? 855 down, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA. Mornings with Gail. So we've got, you know, that thinking face and the eye roll, the nerd emergy with the glasses. That's always a good one. Well, this is kind of shorthand for complex emotions that we increasingly throw into our digital communications. But are they appropriate for work-related exchanges? Well, according to a new study in our study du jour segment, often not, and especially for women who are likely to interpret negative, neutral, and ambiguous emojis more negatively than men do. Yet Laura Jones, an associate professor of psychology at Wayne State University in Detroit, saying the use of facial emojis in texts she received on her phone got her thinking about how men and women process these emojis differently. It's something called emotional negativity bias, this posits that people are more sensitive to negative facial emotions than to positive ones. So the study confirmed that women tend to perceive facial emojis as more negative than their male counterparts. A great example, said Dr. Jones, is that thinking emoji. Men, well, according to the study, the survey says, you tend to see that as slightly positive. Women perceive it as being slightly negative. Others that elicited the same difference in responses included emojis of a smiling face with horns, that's kind of creepy, and a surprised face with eyebrows raised. Oh, and one detail of note for the surprise face, it's all in the eyebrows. The eyebrows made the difference. There was no gender difference in reactions to the surprised face without eyebrows. Several other emojis were perceived slightly negatively by men and more negatively by women, including a neutral face with a horizontal line for a mouth, a face with rolling eyes, and a worried face, among others. But there were several emojis that men and women found more positive. Smiling face, a smiling face with smiling eyes, a face with eyeglasses, and a face savoring food. What's not to like about that? 857 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big shout out to my tech producer, Ryan Kelly. Great job as always.